So Steve, just what are your impressions of training camp so far?
Well, I think there's a level of expectation that's kind of hard to meet in the preseason. You know, it's there's a little bit of that that's unfortunate that these games are practice, and it's an opportunity to get a lot of guys in there, and that's why we have 90 people, and we're trying to figure that out. So it's a little difficult sometimes to show yourself your progress when we're playing a game only, what, 2 weeks after our first practice. So I'm pleased. They know what they're doing. Most of the things that we're doing now, we know the talent level that we have on the team. Execution and communication are the things that get worked out this time of year, and I think that they're doing a good job of that. So I'm excited about Thursday.
It's obviously been a very exciting series of months for you. I'm curious, from your perspective, has anything changed for you since winning a Super Bowl, and what have these last few months been like?
In every business, you try and succeed, and to win it all, there's validation that unfortunately you don't get when you drop a pass in the end zone a year before, and so there's such a fine line between success when you're one of the last four teams standing in 2-11. That's a successful year, but unfortunately, it doesn't feel that way. So losing always gets overblown in that situation because we're here to win championships, but there's a lot of talent in this league and everybody's trying to win it. And so you get one under your belt, and it's validation. It's validation to your peers in the league that we run a good organization. But most importantly, it's just the historical fact of Baltimore having a championship under their belt. It means that much to the citizens of Baltimore and Maryland, and that's really the greatest thing. So it hasn't changed. My off season wasn't that much different. Planning for the next year, we just get into it. I think overall, it's really just historical. That's really what sticks with me more than anything.
Mm-hmm. You obviously know the process. When you look at the team and you sit down with John and Ozzie last year, you knew the kind of transition that the team was going to go through this offseason.
Yeah.
Was it difficult at all still to kind of watch that and see some of the guys that have been here as long as you've been here and you've grown up with, guys like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, and see them leave, just to see the transition that goes on after winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to that now. I mean, you have to be immune to it. I'm not the one that's making the calls and having to release these guys or watch them sign with other teams. And the only job I have is to call Paul Kruger and wish him luck, and call Ed Reed, and we had a wonderful conversation after he signed with Houston, and these guys know it's a business and it's their time, to me, I don't look at it as bad. I look at it as Ozzie's doing his job. If every year we have young guys that are coveted in leagues, with other teams, it means that we're doing the right thing. And I'm happy for Paul, and I'm happy for Danell Ellerbe. And Danell came to the ring ceremony and he said, "You calling me after I signed with Miami meant the world to me." And so really that's my goal, is to wish them luck. And I'm really happy for them to move on. But, it's the end of the game. You shuffle the deck and you deal them out again. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, Steve, all the time you spent in the war rooms and with the Aussies of the world and just listening, if, as you see these new players come in, different generations of them, you reach the point where you can say, "Now, I'm not the football guy necessarily, but I know our type of player when I see him." When you see like an Elam, you say, I can see why the qualities that we're looking for.
I'm really listening to those guys. I know it goes without saying what kind of guys you're looking for, John, but realistically, I'm hearing them. It's their job to explain to me the intangibles that make them want a guy like that. That make them, in our game planning, we were at a point where there was a real possibility that Arthur Brown would have been our first round draft pick, and we would have been happy with that. And so when he starts sliding into the second, and we can give up a couple picks to move up and get him, that's really thrilling, because they have prepared me to be happy with Arthur Brown at a certain point, And I think at that point, with Elam still on the board, I think there were a couple guys that were in positions that we would have had a really tough decision to make as far as needs, I think there might have been four guys there, Elam being one of them, and Mati Te'o was another one, and we needed linebacker, and Arthur Brown was there, and there were maybe two other guys that we had rated under our 32, as low as, I think Matt was 16th, and Arthur might have been 23rd. But I'm prepared, and you're hoping that you have those choices, and we were thrilled to have Elam there. But I'm getting a guy like Arthur in the second round is what makes that draft so thrilling, you know.
Oh, absolutely. It is, you do see. I mean, to me, the phrase "play like a raven." I mean, once these guys are on the field here, you kind of see.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a prototype.
Yeah, there really is, and I think that you get guys like Darryl Smith that come in here. And, you know, honestly, I didn't know him well. I mean, I probably could have said Jacksonville if they said, well, where does he play? I'm aware of him. But I think he comes in here, and I think he is now around guys that have set a certain standard. And I think that he's playing like a young guy, and I think he's rejuvenated. And that's what I'm really excited to see. See what he can do in our system. And that's kind of, you know, an Elam and an Arthur Brown come in, and then a veteran that's been in the league 10 years like Darryl comes in, and you see if they elevate their game to the level that we're hoping that they do.
And a lot of new faces on that defense.
A lot of new faces.
There's some pretty good football players.
Yeah, a lot of good ones.
And Steve, we'll get you out of here on this one. We know we always got to ask you about Joe Flacco. And when you come out here, we've seen him be fiery, go back and forth with Terrell Suggs throughout practice. Has that been fun for you to watch? What have you seen from Joe?
No, it is. It really is. I think that, you know, one of the national guys was asking me about the leadership vacuum, and I said, it's just not true. Ray Lewis is a once-in-a-generation guy, and when you saw guys like Terrell Suggs, who was a defensive player of the year, and in the offseason and as the season started last year, he's still deferring to Ray Lewis, and it's just interesting. It's like when you have someone of that iconic level, it was hard to step out of his shadow, and they really didn't try to. They knew that they were seeing something, and that they were fortunate to be a part of it. But I think that this is a great opportunity for guys like Suggs to step up. And Joe to step up. So it's coming along exactly the way I figured. I thought that we were going to surprise people with our level of leadership on this team, and then you get a guy like Elvis Dumervil in here. We're not going to miss a beat from a leadership standpoint. Direction, these guys are going to know what direction to go in.
Well, it's certainly fun to watch, absolutely. Well, Steve, really appreciate you joining us today. Sometimes you just happen to be at the right place at the right time.
Well, exactly. I think you pinned yourself in this corner because you know I come out to practice every day.
Very strategic.
I'm glad you finally invited me.